Good morning. So Mike said 3 points for a sermon, so I'm not doing a sermon. I'm just doing a lesson and taking you on a journey in my life. Change agents. You hear a lot this day and age about change agents, change management. I think years ago, I think Ted Fowler, I don't know if he's here today, talked about change. Some of you may remember that. But this morning, I don't want to talk about the world's change agents. I want to talk about the most powerful change agents that there is, and that's from God. And I want to take you on a journey in my life and struggles and different things and the impact that he had on me and continues. So I was an accountant. I met Missy when she was 14. I was 17, Palmetto Bible Camp. I ended up with 3 boys. We haven't been together since then, but we've been together a long time. And so in an accountant in the world, you know, you think of debits always equal credits. You know, things, it has to, 2 + 2 = 4. Debits always equal credits. And so life for us, you know, it was good. And married the woman of my dreams, had 3 wonderful boys, right? Life was perfect. And obviously in that, it wasn't. I've hit rock bottom a couple of times in my life. The first was in 1996. It was when my mom got an illness that there was no cure for, myodysplasia, and dealing with that. And it was a tremendous struggle because many of you have gone through that asking the why question. But at that point in time, a lot of my actions and a lot of my lashing out at the time, I chalked up to the anger associated with that. In other words, I explained it away. I said, well, this is because my mom is sick. And so there were things in the late 90s, forever. It's not easy living with a perfectionist. Debits equal credits. Life had to be perfect too. This was something that, looking back on time, that many of us suffer from, and we have expectations that are impossible to meet. And then when you try to enforce them on your family and those around you and your sons, you're bound for a difficult time. Around 2006, 2007, the boys were getting older. There were some things that happened where it continued to erode. And I was blind to it. I continued saying, well, here's the reason that this is happening. Here's the reason. I would still excuse the words. And so when I look back and I think of that time, I was working in a dream job. I was a corporate controller. I had a dream family. And yet, the very thing that I was focused on and working hard with, I was also messing up. So in 2000, I don't remember the year exactly, but there was a middle school soccer game. Drew's here today. And we got home, and I can't even tell you what I said. I don't even remember, but I said something that was out of frustration, that's what I called it, or passion, I called it. There's a lot of different ways I rationalized my actions. And this morning is not about me, but I had to set the stage for where it took me today. So I said something to Missy, and my oldest son, who at the time was probably 16, 17, Trace, he let me know in no uncertain terms that I was wrong, that what I was saying was not right. He couldn't wait to get away from me. He was counting the days until August when he left for college, and he wanted to get away. So remember that in my mind, I'm thinking that things, you know, I have a great family, and you, how can you be blinded to these types of things? Now looking back, I don't know. I do know. I think it's pride, and we'll get to that in a minute. Because ultimately, that's what it being a perfectionist is about, is letting pride stand in the way. So Missy defused the situation immediately. Trace went on his way. Drew took a shower. I went somewhere. But then that night we talked, and in many tears, Missy relayed that, you know, your words, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. There were many things that she was struggling with, but she didn't feel free to tell me. And all of a sudden, the world that I knew was suddenly disappearing. And you know, the job, I was asked, ironically, God, when he wants to get your attention, God will slap you with a 2x4. And he did me. At work, remember I said that was my dream job, they came to me and said, well, we want you to run this, you'll work on this global software implementation project. I said, okay, project, temporary. You know, I'm out of my main job. So now the dream job that I had was going away. At home, my relationship with the boys, which I treasured, was not where it needed to be. There was alienation. And Missy and I, we were struggling. And so really, what I had was this. I was too blind to see it. And so where do I go from here? It was at many times a hopeless feeling. And what I found out, I was active. I taught devos. But I found out that in this struggle and in this dilemma that I was in, my relationship with God, I would study passages, but always with a purpose. In other words, for a class, taught Ephesians, John, 1 and 2 Samuel. But what I didn't do, and what I'm trying to relay to you this morning as we go through the next slides, is I didn't feed myself. There comes a time when the power of God that we talked about earlier, and now this is the 3 or 4 out of the 5 elders have used Ephesians 3, and you'll see it at the end. But in terms of trying to connect with God, what I found was you can pick up his word and you can read it, and that's good. And sometimes you just have to do that until you work through an issue. But I wasn't taking time to really connect with God. So I tried to determine, well, why am I, you know, and pride was in the way. And so Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So at this point, I was starting to realize in reading different passages that what I was finding in the mirror, I didn't like. I was doing, but I wasn't connecting with God at the level I needed to connect with. I was explaining away anger and angry words, the lashing out and the different things. It's, you know, it is painful in different ways, but what I would say to you today to learn from my journey is if everyone around you is telling you it's angry and it's anger, it doesn't matter what you think it is, it's anger. And it took me a while to digest that. So listen to the warning signs early. Listen to your friends. Listen to your school classmates, your best friends. If they're saying, hey, there's something you need to look at in your life, don't ignore it. I did for too long. And then, I just was talking about, I felt like there was, even though I was in the Word, I was disconnected. There wasn't the time that I paused and meditated. And I didn't find that bedrock that I expected when these tough things happen. So I'm in a situation now where it's pretty hopeless. I'm worried about losing everything around me. And so what do I do? What's next? This is Folly Beach, and this was taken around the time. And no, Missy's not in this picture. This is the sunrise. That's not her thing. It is my thing. And so then I look for moments where I could just go start trying to figure this out with God, because I had to work through admitting it first. There was a part of me that pushed back and said, no, this is not all me. And you start looking for reasons, and it's never all, but you don't look at yourself honestly and say you have a problem, then you're never going to do anything about it. So working through these things and then figuring out that, you know, maybe it's male, not always, fix it. You know, you want a quick fix. There's no quick fix to years of this. There was no physical abuse whatsoever. I mean, well, Trace would tell you a story about one time he saw a video where I threw him on a couch, but that was not abuse. He gave me a double knee drop in the back from behind, and I just gently tossed him on the couch. But the verbal abuse is what it was that I had to deal with. The temper, the call it what you want, but ultimately it was working through that and admitting that I could not do this. I mean, this was a guy that I always had to try to be perfect. I always felt like I had something to prove. And with this, you know, I was lost. So what did I turn to? Some of these passages are familiar to you, but I looked at them in different ways. For example, in John, when I was looking at John and many different scriptures, by myself I can do nothing. And then, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. It was changing the focus from what my activities were and what I did. That was less important than trying to establish that bedrock relationship for me with God. 2 Corinthians, Rocky can quote it, I'm sure. But for we live by faith, not by sight. You hear that all the time. But I was focused on the next part, a little further down. So we make it our goal to please him. So my goal was to no longer be the best provider. My goal was no longer to try to be perfect at work, the perfect husband, the perfect father, because I'd already failed miserably at that. But now my goal, the starting point that I came back to, is I've got to please God in all things. If you let God take the lead, it is possible for that change to happen. What did I do? What are some of the things I did? I took on this global project role at home. I've been to 24 different countries, I think. Met many, many wonderful people from country to country. And so what did that do? Any of you that travel internationally, when you get on a flight to Europe, you typically have at a minimum 7 hours to 9 hours. Now, you sleep part of it. But I had a lot of time to think in some of these flights. It gave me time to use it a different way. So I did journaling. I just looked at verses, and I love music, so I started, I'm a Mercy Me fan and many other groups, but I started trying to feed that part of me that I had not been feeding. I also, through journaling, I remember I looked up last night, in January 11th, 2009, I had a journal note page that said, "From ashes grow trees." So the implication was I had had a forest fire, but I was trying to think, because you can't go back. And I was talking to Nick about this briefly last night, because the initial reaction is, I wasted all this time, I lost this time, I lost these years. But that's as bad as asking why when somebody dies. And so I really had to work through with God that it's from here forward, God, and you can lead me. Don't underestimate the daily walks through the Scripture. It doesn't matter the quantity, but the impact that that can have on your life. God will lead you and change you in ways that you don't know today. The way you think, the way you act, the way you react. You'll pick up the book and you'll read a scripture morning, noon, night, whenever it might be. And you'll say, that reflects what I'm feeling today. It happens often. Prayer, much prayer as a family. And my wife is a praying lady and I needed a lot of it. We pray often. Understanding God's grace in new ways. You know, there was, I was fortunate to grow up in a home with a dad who was a minister that taught about grace. But I started touching grace in ways that I never imagined. Trying to learn, when you hit rock bottom, which that for me was rock bottom, you start understanding that getting to the point where you treat yourself as nothing and focus on God, it was a challenge. Valuing peace over conflict, valuing even at personal expense, potentially. And God's voice, I'm not saying, don't get excited, I don't hear God's voice speaking to me in that context, but I can't tell you how many times in prayer, in reading the scriptures, in dealing with different things, that I feel a peace come about on me. I'll give you an example. There was a flight. How many, you probably remember, there was an Air France flight that left out of Brazil and crashed in the ocean. It was because of a severe storm. Well, I was on the way from New York to Argentina, Buenos Aires, and that area is terrible for storms. And literally there were people in the middle of the aisle from Buenos Aires holding on to the bottom of the seat because they were hurting with the seatbelt and different things. But there was it's not that I wanted the plane to go down, but I knew the journey group, I knew the people that were in my group would take care of my family, and there was a peace that I had. And so where did that come from? It didn't come from me. It didn't come from what I was doing, but it came from God and just connecting with Him. In James, when we look at different passages, when you're at different points in your life, I talked about looking at grace in a different way. He says, but He gives us more grace. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. But humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So, many times we get to a point in our life where we think it's too late. Too late for the relationship, it's too late for whatever relationship it might be. But I'd like to say to you that never, never give up. With God's help, a different journey can begin. And these are just things that I would suggest to you that leave with God and make changes. So, Where are we today in the journey? It's not a destination for me. It's a journey. I'm not there. I still fail. But there's a difference. I didn't ask God to control my temper and control my anger because that still puts me in charge. What I ask Him to do is take it away. What I ask Him to do is let me think differently. Let me be different. And you can only do that through God. If I had said, well, situation to situation, I'll try to control, that still puts it in on my control. So while not perfect, there, as you can imagine, when you have a time in your life where you start experiencing something like this and you're trying to change, what happens? Everything happens. So after that, it wasn't just the little things I was reacting to. It was like, all right, what can be next? But I left it in God's hands, and I won't call the name, but I got a call about 1 a.m. from a Cary police officer, and he said, do you know where your son is? And I don't know if any of y'all ever got that call, but it sends a chill down your spine that you'll never forget. And I said, no. And I said, if we find him, do you want me to call you back? He said, no, I just wanted to make you aware that we think that there's a group roaming around. And so anyway, I don't remember if he called me or I called him, but I found him in front of a sign near a golf course. I hugged his neck, told him I loved him. Had to calm Missy down that night. I liked the role reversal. But my point is, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about where you put your hope, your trust, and your faith. And the Father, we underestimate. We try to put God in the context that we want him to be in instead of just letting God work in our lives. So understanding that God does not help you unless you seek him, and understanding that in terms of God's change agents, for me, it disappeared. Holy Spirit, his word, and prayer. Whoops. All right, we'll go fast. Normally, that's what I try to do. So what are God's change agents for me and for you? Especially his Holy Spirit, his word, prayer. It made a big impact in my life. And this passage that Mike has already read, and when you look at things and you look at this passage, there's a song called Me Higher. If you go to and look up Regen Harmony. But it talks about getting out of your safe zone. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you lead, Lord. I am way out of my safe zone this morning. Sharing a personal journey and the struggles that I've had. You know, it's not my comfort zone by any means, but I made a commitment to God that I would go where he leads, and he led me here this morning to share it with you. And don't tell me that God can't change you. Don't tell me, because he can. But you have to reach out to him. Your life can be a wreck. You can wreck relationships. You can wreck yourself. But God will be waiting on you when you're ready to approach him. I'm not at the destination. I said earlier, it's still a journey. I have to work every day and leave it in God's hands. But there are opportunities here. Celebrate recovery on Friday night. There's elders that will love you and help you. And there's members here. All I can say is don't be isolated. Don't ignore the warning signs. Reach out. Find someone you love. And then ultimately turn it over to God and get out of the driver's seat. So if you're here this morning, we're going to have prayer circles that form at different parts of the auditorium. If you need to have a prayer request, if you want to start that journey back, by all means, let us know. It doesn't have to be, I didn't walk down this aisle, but please make that change in your life and seek God and put him first. Thank you.